I'm ready.
Hello, this is Joe Tomalin at the Edinburgh Fringe for Fringe Review, and I'm speaking to someone from a show, a two-person show, and he's going to introduce himself.
Hi there, my name is Trigvi Wakenshaw, and I've just been performing in the show Different Party along with my friend Barney Duncan.
Okay, now that's an unusual name that you have, but give us the title of the show itself, which includes your name.
It's called like Trigvi Wakenshaw and Barney Duncan, Different Party.
Okay, and could you tell me a bit about the show? What sort of genre is it and how you developed it?
Sure, we put it in the theatre category, and it's really, but it's a fine line between is it theatre or is it comedy? It's physical comedy. It's a physical comedy, it's a slapstick, it's two idiots in an office trying to make sense of a day in which nothing really happens and there's a lot of jargon and babble and paper flying everywhere.
And how did you develop it?
Barney and I have worked together for a long time. We've sort of been making shows for about 15 years. 15 years ago we met up and then we started making shows together. We went off and kind of pursued solo careers for a little while, and this is actually our reunion show. And it's beautiful because our own personal ideas and beliefs of like how to make a show and what is funny and what we're kind of searching for and the things that we question have sort of solidified in each other as we've gone away and done solo things. And it's so nice to come back again to someone that I knew so well how to work with and be able to find those ideas again and share them between each other.
The office is the location and setting for your show. How did you come up with that?
We came up with it because we had been to Korea, to the Busan International Comedy Festival. And there we noticed this trend. And like I love South Korean comedy, is amazing. There's a group here called the Ongils who are sensational, and they are sort of this in Korea the comedy seems to come from these like teams, like comedy teams. So the Ongils are this group of eight at the moment. There's four on stage at a time in any show, and they have this costume which is like babies, and so they just kind of babble, like their talk is this babbly talk. And then other groups are like comedy monsters and they all kind of walk around going ugh. And there was traditional Korean comedy where the comedians all wore like traditional Korean costumes, and so from that we were like really inspired, like going, we want to make a show on the same level as Korean comedy. And so we were thinking about what's our uniform? Like, what's our costume? And business suits just kind of became the thing. And then that naturally led to... And at first we were going to make kind of just a sketch show with, like, different bits, but our costume was these business suits. But then the way that we've worked in the past has been to make a show within a setting. And so that kind of just naturally came about, like, because we had the business suits as our costume together, the show ended up in an office. I think that's how the setting came about.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. How about the contrasting characters? There's a little bit of a hierarchy, perhaps, and there's... are there any other differences or similarities that we might not know about from just watching the show?
I'm not sure. I don't know what it looks like to watch the show. we've done a lot of stuff. Back when we were working together at first, we made a series of shows with this kind of like Laurel and Hardy-esque like high status, low status. And I was often the high status character and Barney was the kind of more bumbling... the low status guy. Like, I was the uptight, clever man who never got anything right, and he was the sort of bumbling, happy-go-lucky guy, which always managed to solve the problem. And so we'd tried flipping that as well, where he was, like, the high-status one. This one, we've tried to be pretty balanced about it. Like, we've tried to keep it really ambiguous who the actual manager of this office is. And it's nice. And I feel like sometimes that works. Although sometimes, naturally, I just become more like, high-status and order him around. But then at the same time, the next minute, I'll go into a bit where I'm smacking my head into a clock and being utterly useless at my job as well.
There's some interesting animalistic movement and themes going through the show. How did that happen?
I think that stuff came from us exploring, like, what do you do in an office? And we really couldn't work it out. Like, we knew there was a lot of jargon and printers and stuff. And then it was just came down to playing with pieces of paper, dogs becoming, I don't know, it was a funny idea to have briefcases being dogs. And then that kind of just got into our little imaginations, and we thought, oh, maybe we're two dogs. Maybe we become pigeons. That came from, like, playing with bits of paper.
Yeah. It's very inventive, and it's very entertaining to watch, I have to say. Now, thinking about the movement, there are some times when you have specific, where you're doing mime. Would I be okay in saying mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you have an amazing, what we call a fixed point piece with the handles of the briefcase.
Yeah.
How did that happen? That is really, really very, very good and went down very well. The audience loved it.
Ah, thanks. Well, I'm not like a trained mime, but all the shows I've done the last several years have been mime. Like, I find myself more and more being kind of really interested in mime and kind of trying to use nothing to tell stories. So that's from me, really. And, like, the briefcase fixed in space, we did because it's such a funny, like, hack move. Like, every street performer with a suitcase is going to do that one at some point. And we enjoyed to find, I think the fun bit for us is getting into it, of going, like, justifying why it happens, you know? Because, like, Marcel Marceau comes in with the suitcase, he does the thing, but only because he's got a magic suitcase. Like, it was fun for us to kind of not to ignore the suitcase and go, well, I'm leaving, and then I come back, and then I'm leaving again, and then I'm coming back. And that became a circle around the briefcase, and then after that it just becomes a ridiculous, like, then we just start pushing to it to an extreme.
Yeah, I think it works really, really well. High quality work. Now, getting back to some of the other ideas that are a bit more literal, it's interesting how there are some literal things perhaps that you say and the other person, your partner, does that are very funny, and maybe vice versa as well. How did you work those out, or was it just subconscious? Yeah, like the chair. He took the chair home. That was just really, it's so naive. It's so brilliant. So I'm just curious how that and some of the other literal things came about.
You mean like the puns? Like, there's a lot of puns in the show.
Yes. Yes, and when, you know, little, like the action of the chair, he said, oh, I took it home.
I think that came from just one show. I think it came from when we were first doing the show. And we just, you know, it was part of a fringe festival and we forgot to set the chair. And I came on at the start of the show and Barney was off to the side. And he just saw that the chair wasn't there. So he just brought it on with him and then said, I brought the chair home. Sorry, Gareth, I took the chair home last night. And it got a big laugh, and so it stuck.
Like, I think it sets the tone. It really does. It's amazing how accidents really can be very productive. Mm. What other shows have you done?
I Together, we've done a lot of shows in New Zealand, so I won't mention the names because they didn't really tour very far.
Yeah.
Because we weren't really up on the touring circuit at that stage. Back when we were making work in New Zealand, it wasn't... Like, it was such an expensive thing. And we were making all that stuff on, like, $0. And we were not working so that we could rehearse together. And so we were, like... We had no money to go and tour it anywhere. So if I mentioned any show names, you wouldn't recognize them. But the shows that we've done here, we first... How we learned about Edinburgh was Barney wrote a comedy play show called Constantinople, which is like this like phony history lesson about the city of Constantinople. And it was very funny, and it was similarly stupid and had horses and lots of wordplay and puns and stuff. And we brought it here to the Free Fringe and kind of did that and looked around. And then... So that was the first thing that brought us to Edinburgh. And after that, we started making solo things. I've brought shows called Squid Boy, Kraken, and Nautilus. And this year, I'm doing a show called Trigvi versus the Baby. Barney has brought over his solo shows, which are like a trilogy of this character comedy DJ called Juan Vesuvius, who's a Venezuelan DJ. I think the first one was called, what was it? Calypso Nights, Juan 2, and the new one is called Juan Vesuvius, I Am Your DJ. And he also came over with a play called Strange Resting Places, which was a New Zealand play.
Okay. And are you taking this show anywhere else before you go back to New Zealand?
Neither of us live in New Zealand anymore. So Barney's based in Melbourne now, and I'm now based in Prague.
Oh.
Yeah. But as for touring, we're on the books of Aurora Nova, who are a fantastic like booking agency, and they have some amazing shows, which are definitely worth... They're always worth going and seeing. And so from that, maybe there'll be a tour. At the moment, we don't know.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us at Fringe Review, and the best of luck for the run.
Great. Thanks very much.